down the street. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream.
And on that note, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. Today in this special bonus episode, I, Brian, and
Johnny
are going to share our thoughts about the greatest Star Trek film of all time.
Turn my mic down now.
Star Trek V.
Yeah. The
final front. I had to think about what that title was. Oh my God. This movie is so bad, guys, gals, whatever. It is awful. Like, let's see. We're at 48 seconds right now. I'm going to put the over-under of this episode at 10 minutes.
Okay. This will be the shortest but best podcast ever.
Okay. So, if you don't know, Star Trek V, the Undiscovered Country, the
Final Frontier. The Final Frontier. It's so bad you want to forget about it.
Like, all right, so I watched this movie.
Star Trek V, the Undiscovered Country, because Star Trek V, the Final Frontier never happened.
No. Star Trek V, the Undiscovered Final Crap Fest.
Ugh.
How about that? Yeah?
He's my brother.
Oh, God. All right. So, as we were getting ready to record here a few minutes ago, I said, oh, this movie was directed by William Shatner. No wonder it was such a piece of crap. Okay. So, Star Trek V, the Final Frontier is a 1989 American science fiction released by Paramount Pictures. It's the fifth feature film based on Star Trek and a sequel to the 1966 to 1969 Star Trek television series. This takes place shortly after the events of Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, the best one. Anyway, where the crew, the skeleton crew of the Enterprise, for some odd reason, there's nobody on board.
I had no budget.
Decides to go confront a renegade Vulcan who happens to be Spock's brother.
It wasn't our fault. Starfleet sent us.
Yeah.
Starfleet sent us.
Yeah, because that's what Starfleet does. They sent their flagship with like 12 people to go.
Yeah.
All right.
Their unequipped flagship that just was, you know, ceremonially released at the end of Star Trek IV.
Yeah.
They didn't even have all the parts in there. Although, if you look at the end of Star Trek IV and then look at Star Trek V, what happened to the bridge?
I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a new chair.
We tore it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We lost that set, yeah. So we had to build a new one?
Every movie, they tore the set down. So yeah. That's why you got a new bridge right. In every movie.
But, this is just not a good movie, folks. It is bad.
Yeah.
So, I don't say that a lot. You know, I try to find things in movies that I like.
I seen this movie in a theater.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. They walked. That's not. This is.
I mean,
not
you probably only paid $3 back then to see it. But
still, it's one of those ones where you didn't walk out feeling good.
No.
Especially after seeing Star Trek IV.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, that was really awesome. And, you know, what is a Star Trek thing?
Well, okay.
Because I had never really, like, knew Star Trek until Star Trek IV.
Right. Well, think of it this way, right? We were watching these in reverse chronological
order. Yeah.
All right. So after the Undiscovered Country, we get to this and you're like, what is this crap?
Yeah.
Like, you know, they seem to have figured it out. Well, it's also an even number movie or odd number movie.
Right.
And odd number movies are all crap in
this
franchise
for the most part.
They're not
successful in
the
franchise, yeah.
But yeah, okay. So this movie was directed by William Shatner.
Mm-hmm.
The screenplay was by David Longray. Yes, I don't know how to say that.
I forget how you
the story was by William Shatner, Harv Bennett, and David Longray. So, yeah, those three people should not be allowed to write stories anymore.
And they weren't.
Yeah,
allowed to write any Star Trek after that. So I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't quite get it. But yeah, okay. So this
Harv Bennett had been producer since Star Trek II.
Okay,
successful producer. Yeah. Of this, you know, he got the shit together after the motion picture and all that, and, you know, got the story together, found Nicholas Meyer, all that stuff. I think his ego and Shatner's ego literally made Paramount go, just go.
Just go. Just go. Leave us alone. Do it. Do what you're
going to
do.
You're going to Yosemite? Okay. Go. Just go. And the thing is like, there is a book out there that Shatner's daughter wrote. She mm-hmm. followed him around. She was like a production assistant for
okay,
him.
Cool.
And it's interesting. The behind the scenes story
yeah.
is interesting. The movie, is a turd.
Let's explain why this is a turd. All right.
You want me to just go down the list?
Just go down the list.
Bad acting. Nobody's in character.
We're going to say quote unquote acting.
Yeah. Well, you know? you're going with a bad script.
Yeah.
So nobody's so bad writing. Really in character.
Yeah.
Bad special effects.
Bad directing.
You know, they spent all the money on, I don't know what, the trailer for Shatner, probably.
No, they spent it on the 7 different toupees that he wore because his hair was never the same from scene to scene.
There's not many good things about this movie. I enjoyed the visuals that he did at the beginning.
I tell you what I did like.
What?
Nichelle Nichols' little naked leg thing there. Because if those were her legs.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about the
little the moon feather is the dance window thing?
To heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Though
she had some nice gams for an older gal.
Yeah.
So that
I think that was a stunt double.
It may have been.
Hello, boys.
You know,
the only thing that was in character for her was that singing part because she had sing on the original series. You know,
but she was
a singer on the original
dating
series.
Scotty.
Well, yeah, it was like there was this like weird
that came thing up going and on. Then went away.
Sulu
and
getting lost in the woods.
Yeah,
it's like this is like a navigator on a ship. You know, it's possible, but
someone letting a Chekhov that's not Anton Yelchin have the con that just made no sense. Like after what happened after Star Trek II, I'm surprised Starfleet even let Chekhov stay in Starfleet. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. But he was the first officer of that ship.
Yeah.
He was the second officer
on
that ship.
How did that happen?
He wasn't the first officer. Yeah. He was the second officer on that ship.
Anyway, so we meet Spock's brother in this, who is all of a sudden this
probably
thing, you know.
One of the only good performances in this movie.
Wow.
Like, because he was, you know, somebody we didn't know. But the fact that he...
Cybok.
The actor, Lawrence Luckinbill, played the character so believably as, you know, I believe in this Shakari, you know. And from the beginning, when he shows up, you're like, okay, this guy's interesting. He's not a villain by any means. He's not a villain.
No,
it's like he was interesting, but it was just a bad story.
Did you
the
know?
Novelization of this movie is better than the
book. Wow, that's rough. So apparently, Sean Connery was originally contacted to play Cybok.
Yeah, I know,
but he was busy with Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Well, sure, yeah,
good choice, Sean.
Yeah,
good choice.
He probably
is it Sir?
Script.
Is it Sir Sean? Is
I
he
think it's
is
Sir
he knighted?
Sean,
yeah. So good job, Sir.
But
Sean.
It's like you know he probably looked at that script and went, "What is this shit?"
Or just my reckoning.
What is this?
I was born into the crap. You
William
just wrote it.
Who's William Shatner?
Dude, Shatner is so appropriate for this. Anyway, all right. This movie is 106 minutes of just crap. Here's the sad thing. This movie made money.
Well, yeah, it made money. It's Star Trek. It's a Star Trek movie.
It was a $33 million budget with a $63 million box office.
Foreign countries and that.
So if you adjust for inflation, this movie's probably a $100 million movie.
But justifiably, Star Trek movies didn't happen unless the last one made money.
Right.
So it's really one of those things where the reason why you didn't see a movie you didn't see a movie after Nemesis is because it did not make money.
Yep.
And you know, once the word of mouth of this one got out, it was like, you know, the Phantom Menace of Star Trek movies.
I like it says it received generally mixed to poor reviews.
Oh.
It's rocking at 21% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Putting it very nicely.
Like this makes Batman versus Superman script seem coherent.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was all over the place. There were all these weird scenes where they were standing in front of a big ship's wheel that did not actually make the Enterprise steer, which
just seemed out of place.
Decoration and, I don't know.
The one scene that still bothers me at this point, and I don't watch this movie at all, but the one scene that bothers me is when they're going up the turbo lift tube. And they hit deck 78, and it's like, there ain't even that many damn decks on this ship. How could there? If it was 78 decks, it'd be bigger than the damn Next Generation Enterprise.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, there's about 15 decks on that Enterprise.
Yeah.
And it's like, why couldn't you just had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? you know, and stopped at 15.
Yeah. What, you know, I mean, this movie starts off on a horrible note. Like, well, the mountain climbing stuff is cool.
But that's not the opening of the movie.
Right.
The opening of the movie is a laughing Vulcan.
Right.
Which they should have just called it that, Star Trek V, the laughing the Vulcan.
Laughing Vulcan.
The laughing Vulcan.
People might have come in with more properly
levels. I would have been like, what's this mean?
Like, you know, they have the frontier. Where did that come from? We've never heard of that before. Yeah. You know, it was this, like, this strip of, like, it was a fence,
well, they were going to the center of the galaxy.
So that's not the frontier.
That would have taken years from where they were to get to.
So,
because Nimbus 3, the planet of galactic peace, was not that far from Earth.
Right.
They got there in minutes. They were there, we're here. You know, but the center of the galaxy, and I'm like, the only thing that makes that creature interesting is I think it was Greg Cox or one of them did a novel series with Q.
Oh, I lost the bet. We're at 11 minutes.
Okay. Well, there you go. Should have bet money on this one. No, there was a story with Q where they explained a lot of the, like, mystical creatures that have showed up in Star Trek.
Yeah.
And it was explained that he was put on that planet by Q. He was imprisoned on that planet by Q. And it's like, well, that makes sense, but why did you even put that in there? Because it didn't matter anyway.
Yeah, I don't get it. All right. So I started talking about the camp or the mountain scene in Yosemite, right?
Yeah.
So they go camping where they eat beans and drink whiskey, Tennessee whiskey.
Yeah. Makes sense that McCoy would have Tennessee whiskey.
And then they sing Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
Well, that's not really until the end, but...
No, they do it
They try to do it in the beginning, well, and it's just so, Spock, yeah.
Spock ruins everything Spock like he Spock. Does.
You come back from the dead, and you haven't learned how to sing Row, Row, Row Your
Spock.
Boat?
Spock. Yeah, didn't he have some of McCoy's personality in him anyway at that point?
No, it didn't work that way.
I guess not. Yeah. Anyway, but... yeah, so they try and sing Row, Row, Row Your Boat. They're around getting drunk. They get called into service, and they're like, yeah.
Oh, they were all like, yeah, you know, still a little drunk, yeah.
And then William Shatner shows up wearing, like, a cardigan. Yeah. You know, like, it's like, what Starfleet uniform is that?
Yeah.
And then like, when they go later in the movie where he should have had that, like, cardigan, like, kind of more, like, action-oriented thing. He's in the big stiff, you know. It's like, what the hell is going on here?
I don't know.
Okay.
It just seems like, and, you know, he put out the apology this week.
Yeah, so let's talk about
that.
On Comic Book Resources, and there's going to be a link to this in the show notes, and it came out via Gizmodo. All right. So it says here, and this is just part of the quote from William Shatner. You should actually do this because you do the William Shatner voice
Me to do it in the Shatner voice?
Yeah, it's the quote there in the middle.
I got a chance to direct a $7 million movie, Star Trek V. I did not get the help I needed in allocating my budget. So when it came to shooting the ending, needing a good villain and... lots of computer graphics. Back then, there weren't a lot of computer graphics anyways.
No, it was a still fledgling thing.
It's still, you know, like, one of those things.
Ed Catmull was still, like, you know, getting rid of Jagged Lines.
So it goes on. I had run out of money. Sorry about that. I had to use footage that I had already shot.
Hold on. When he did the laugh, do you think he put his arms, like, at his hips in that leg and, like, threw his head back and, you know? Anyway, sorry. I digress.
I had to use the footage that I had already shot and spit on it a lot. He spit on the whole movie.
No. So this movie was like he took a dump on a movie and then let his dog take a dump on it and then put it in the litter box.
I wanted to give the audience... earth-breaking granite monsters spewing rocks and fire. Instead, I had a few pebbles in my hand, and I threw them at the camera and broke it.
Doesn't say he broke it.
No, it doesn't say he broke it, but, you know. So. No, that's from the Entertainment Weekly thing?
Yeah, there was a thing from Entertainment Weekly.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
He's blaming people, and he should just blame himself.
Yeah, so...
Well, and seriously, if you read that book, if you find that book, like a Half Price Books or something, pick it up for the entertainment value, because what he talks about is in the book.
Okay.
And he mismanaged money.
Yeah.
He really just mismanaged money all the way around. Because it was one of those things where
toupees are not cheap.
Industrial Light and Magic could have done something really awesome at the end of that movie.
Well, ILM was involved.
Yeah, they were involved. Yeah, they were involved with all the track movies at some point or another. Yeah. But the thing was, is he spent a lot of money on building a city out in the middle of a desert that didn't need to be done.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of sets that are around in California that look like desolate cities. He spent a lot of money on Klingons because we have to have Klingons in every Star Trek.
And what was wrong with that Klingon?
Which one?
The main, the bad guy.
Claw?
Claw.
He was a bodybuilder. Literally, the guy they cast was a bodybuilder. He had been in Star Trek 2.
Okay.
As a, you know, just a in the background guy. You see him. He's like a big, tall, blonde guy. And he just was the person they cast.
You know who I was interested in? Is his bodybuilder female Klingon Spice friend. Williams. Yeah.
Yeah, his name was Todd Bryant. Yeah. And she was Spice Williams. Yeah. And they both were bodybuilders.
And it was funny, too, because at the end, like, where... like she was on like the ship with them, and I think it was like Scotty or Chekhov.
Sulu and Chekhov are following her until she walks up to Claw, and then they turn around and say something about legs.
They were looking at each other like,
They had to throw Klingons into it for some reason. It's God, like they you didn't really Klingons need Klingons. Into
everything,
but you didn't need Klingons in that story.
And the fact that they were fighting God, you know, it just. Anyway,
what does God need with a starship?
Maybe.
Why is this man questioning me? The next question would have been, why do you not know my name?
Yeah.
It's William Shatner.
What did I ask for Christmas?
The problem I have with his explanation and with his mismanaging the money in this was that he directed a lot of episodes of T.J. Hooker.
Yeah.
A TV series where it's harder to spend money on those.
Yeah.
And he couldn't manage to spend money on a movie, right?
Yeah.
I could imagine Leonard Nimoy just going to his trailer and laughing every day.
I'm getting a paycheck for this.
I directed two of these and they're like moneymakers and there's this. What is going on?
Yeah. Oh, well.
That's the thing is Kirk was out of character even. And it was Shatner playing him.
Oh, yeah.
It was more Shatner playing Shatner than it was Shatner playing Kirk.
You know, I mean, at that point, like, they're lucky they were able to make Undiscovered Country.
Yeah.
You know.
Thankfully, they did Undiscovered Country. Well, and I think that was the whole point that Paramount was like, you know, we got to go out on a good note. And it's, you know, bring in Nick Meyer, bring in Leonard Nimoy.
Let's bring in the A-Team.
Let's bring in the people that made us money on that Star Trek 4 thing.
Let's get the Z-Team out of here. All right, guys. Don't watch this.
What's funny is David Warner's in this.
Yeah.
He shows up in Star Trek 6 as Gorkin. Mm-hmm. He plays a human in this.
Mm-hmm.
And then he eventually played a Cardassian on Star Trek The Next Generation. That dude's awesome, too. I mean, you know. Sark.
Yeah. All right. So here's my just sum up of this. Don't watch this movie.
Yeah, you don't have to watch this movie.
We tortured ourselves for you.
Yeah. We went to the planet of galactic peace. And we pooped.
It took me 3 days to get through this.
It just took me listening to it because, you know.
No, I wanted to watch it because I hadn't seen it in a solid decade, right?
I'd like to know, how many stars does this have on, like, Amazon or Netflix or wherever it is?
I don't know. I watched it on Hulu.
Or why are they even allowed to play this movie?
Yeah. So who keeps giving out the streaming rights to this?
Hashtag ban Star Trek 5 from Hulu, Amazon, and Netflix.
Because William Shatner does not deserve residuals for this movie. I'm sorry, but he doesn't.
I'll own it just because it is part of the series, but I don't have to watch it.
Well, it's like, you know, you should buy it and destroy it just so no one else can watch it.
No, it's literally, this is one of those movies where the best way to describe it is When Ace Ventura finds out that Einhorn is Finkel and Finkel is Einhorn, and there's literally that part where he's in the bathtub like crying.
Yeah.
That's what this movie does to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I literally want to cry. And that's why I don't watch it.
Yeah. Okay, so on that note.
I'd rather watch Star Trek the Motion Picture than this.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Okay, so if you are going to watch this, let me give you some viewing tips. Find a hammer.
Oh, no, no.
Beat this yourself be over the head with it.
Movie. I mean,
no, you know. It can't, though. That's the problem.
You know what the drinking game of this movie is? Get drunk before you watch it.
All right.
And on that note.
We're at 20 minutes. We put in our effort for this. All right.
I hope that we've saved you all from watching this not so much masterpiece.
And if not, get a mallet, beat yourself over the head with it, and you'll have a more enjoyable time. You know what
the funny thing is? There's somebody out there that loves this movie.
Yeah, and if you are that person, please email me.
Yeah.
It's contact@infamouspodcast.com.
I'm sure you're
going to
hear.
I am not going to judge or lambast anyone for loving this movie. I just want to know why.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'd be
plain and simple. I'm just curious. Yeah. Just morbid curiosity.
I don't think there's any movie I hate more than this. Like, dislike. Actually, dislike. Like, I do not want to watch it again.
Yeah.
I think that, like, you know, some of the B movies that I've watched.
Lord of Illusions, starring Scott Bakula.
Oh, no, I like that.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I like that movie. Oh, well, you got to watch the director's cut.
No. If I have to watch the director's cut of something, it's not a good movie.
No. No, it just means that the movie that they released was not a good
idea. That's what
idea.
I'm saying. So, all right.
I'd like to see the director's cut of Star Trek V.
Oh, God.
It would have granite creatures.
We saw the director's cut. Yeah, we did. We saw what the director could do. So
lost control of the car, drove off the cliff.
Yeah. Remember Toonsis, the driving cat from Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
Toonsis was behind the wheel on this one.
Yes.
All right, guys. You can find us online at infamouspodcast.com. Actually, if you type in theinfamouspodcast.com, it gets you there, too. We are on Google, Stitcher, and iTunes, and pretty much anywhere your podcast can be played.
Google Play?
Yeah, Google Play. Sorry. We have new episodes every Friday. This is a special bonus episode that we do from time to time.
Not much of a bonus.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm Brian.
This is your non-bonus of the month?
You're not. I'm titling this non-bonus episode. All right.
The non-bonus frontier.
All right. We have not been drinking, just FYI.
No, oh, no.
So this is how we feel about this. I'm Brian Tudor. You can find me online at Brian Tudor pretty much anywhere. Just put it in the Google search machine and you'll find it. This guy is
Johnny Podorf.
And he's on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook under that. And if you have trouble spelling either of our names, just go to the About Us page and there's links to all this nonsense.
And William Shatner, if you're listening to this and you'd like to come on the show, you're welcome to come on.
We will be very nice to you.
Yeah.
Because we are fans.
And it's all respect, you know. Yeah, I he's Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
But he's not a director.
He's James T. Kirk.
Yeah. He's just not, he's not a director.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I think this is the only motion picture he ever directed.
I hope so.
I think so.
Yeah. All right.
Leonard Nimoy, on the other hand, did Three Men and a Baby and stuff like that.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
All righty then. On that note, whenever you're listening to this, we're sorry.
If you don't want to listen to it, you don't have to.
They've already listened to it if they heard this part.
That's okay. You didn't get a warning when you went in to see this movie in the theater either. So,
all right, guys, gals, everyone. Have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is you're listening to this.
Live long and prosper.
Later.